We are up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Yud. This Mishnah now talks about the fascinating discussion of what food can be used to not only make an Eruv, but also to make a Shituvim Vos. We'll see that the implication is that even though the Mishnah is using the word Ma'arvin, meaning to make an Eruv, we're seemingly talking about an Eruv Techumen, and not an Eruv Echaseros, because of the sheer fact that when we say you can make an Eruv Chatzeros, we require that it has to be made out of a loaf of bread. So we'll see that it partially applies to that, but obviously not in the same way. So let's see. Mishnah Yud. Bakol Ma'arvin Umishtatvin. All foods are allowed to be used to make an Eruv Techumen or a Shituvim Vos, chutz min hamayim min hamelech, except for water and salt, because they're not like significant enough foods. Water and salt aren't significant, and therefore you can't use them to make an Eruv Techumen or a Shituvim Vos. Moreover, the implication of this is that all breads are allowed to be used for Eruv Chatzira, so all foods can be used for those two, for Eruv Techumen and Eruv and Shituvim Vos, and all breads can be used for Eruv Chatzira, whether it's like a whole loaf or a broken loaf. That's how we should understand what this is saying now. Why? We'll see in a second. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. This is what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Kikar hu Eruv, only a whole loaf of bread can be used for an Eruv Echatzeros, and not a broken loaf. Afilu ma'afei sa. So therefore he has the following unbelievable halacha that he quotes. Even if someone made a huge loaf, like baked from a seah of flour, so that the seah is like, it's the volume of 144 eggs, average size eggs, so that's a lot of flour. So even if you baked a huge loaf from a seah of flour, v'hi prusa ein ma'arvin ba, and what? It's broken, so this huge loaf of bread that's broken a little bit can't be used for an Eruv Chatzeros. Kikar be'isar, but if you made a tiny loaf, a very, very small loaf of bread, like the size of an isar, the size of a small coin, v'hu shalem, and it's a complete, it's not broken in ma'arvin bo, then you can make an Eruv out of it if you want. Okay, that's Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Yud Aleph, the final Mishnah of the Perek. No sein adam ma'alech en vani v'lanach tom. So a person can give a ma'a, which is like a small coin, to a grocer or like a baker, k'deisha yizkelo Eruv, so that when the other residents of the courtyard are going to come buy food for the Eruv, he will own part of the Eruv. So what does this mean? What's exactly happening over here? Well, very simple. Some guy walks into the grocer or into the baker, and he says to the salesman, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars, and when the person who's making the Eruv comes to collect the food for the Eruv, well, very simple. You just give the guy the food from me for the Eruv. And so, in other words, he's just giving him the money, and this guy is hoping this guy will take care of everything for him. And he doesn't, and so therefore the person who's buying the food for the Eruv, for his part, he never touches the food. So therefore this guy is able to do this according to Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a person can give some money to the grocer or the baker, and he won't get any of the food ever in his possession, but he'll say, give this money or give this food to the other guy who's coming to collect the food for the Eruv, and let me be a part of this Eruv. And it seems like we're talking about all Eruv in here, Eruv Techumen, Eruv Chatzeros, and the Shituvim Mavos. However, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says, but the Chachamim say, lo zachu lo ma'usav, that his money doesn't actually acquire any special share in the Eruv for him. Why? Because the Chachamim have an important rule. They say that when this guy is giving his money to this storekeeper, that the food, since he never comes into possession of it, that he's basically like he has never really acquired it in the first place. So it's very nice. This guy's going to take his money, and then this guy's going to give the food to the Eruv collector. But this guy never really owned the food, so it doesn't really work. Umodim b'shar kol adam, but the Chachamim agree that if he did pay if he paid like another person who is not this middleman, grocer or baker, and he basically gave this other person, and he said he gave him money to acquire a portion of the Eruv on his behalf, and then he would contribute that to the Eruv, shezachu lo ma'usav, that his money does enable him to own a portion of the Eruv food, and this situation would work because of the fact that we understand that him paying him is like a form of him paying for the shlichus, and therefore it should all work for the situation because he's not paying for the acquiring of the food. He's paying for him to do this shlichus, and therefore that's what he's being paid for, and that's why it should work. She'in marvin la'adam ela midato. And what is the mechanism by which all this is really running by? Because she'in marvin la'adam ela midato. Because we can't use a person's money to make an heir for him without his consent. What do you mean without his consent? The guy just said, "Here is my consent. Take this money and buy some food, or take some money and give some of this food to this man, the heir of collector." So we say, because when the guy gave the money to the shopkeeper, to the baker, or to the grocer to buy food, that wasn't an effective kinyan, we say. And therefore, it says if he's using his money to make an heir for him without his consent, and therefore it doesn't work. But says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bamed Devar Mamurim." When was it said that we can't use a person's property to make an heir for him without his consent? Be'ir v'tuchumen. When it comes to an heir v'tuchumen, why? Because an heir v'tuchumen is not necessarily a positive. Because we've learned extensively about heir v'tuchumen that is it positive, is it negative? Well, it's a little bit unclear because it doesn't really add much for you. All it does is that it extends the amount that you can walk in one direction, but it also detracts the amount that you can walk in another direction outside of your area. So that's not indefinite. So therefore, you cannot, for an heir of Tchumen, make an heir without his consent for him. About Be'ir v'chatzeros, when it comes to an heir of chatzeros, that everyone agrees an heir of chatzeros is good. Who wouldn't want an heir of chatzeros? You could walk from your house to the courtyard and carrying things, etc. It's such a beautiful, much easier way to go about having Shabbos. Therefore, ma'arvin l'dato v'shalo l'dato, we can make an heir for a person with or without his consent in that case. L'fisha zachin l'adam shalo b'fanav, an important concept in Shas, because we have a rule that we can benefit a person, or he could be zoche a person without his consent, even if he's not agreeing to it, we can assume that he would have wanted it. But we can't disadvantage a person, we can't obligate a person in a negative way without his consent. And so therefore, since it's clearly a zuchus, it's clearly a positive thing to have an heir of yichatzero, so we can do it without his consent. But if it was a bad thing, we can't just assume that he would want it without his consent, and therefore heir v'tchumen, which may or may not be a good thing specifically, therefore that will not work. But for the heir of yichatzero, and seemingly also for the Shituvim of Oos, that should work, and therefore we do allow it even without his explicit consent, and therefore this Kenyan would work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So when he go for the Irvi Chatziris, and again seemingly for the Shituvim of Oos as well, that he can tell the shopkeeper that I want you to make this ear for me, by I'm going to give you money and then you're going to give some food to the ear collector and all will be well. That should work according to Rabbi Yehuda for an ear of Chatziris and the Shituvim of Oos, and not for an ear of Tuchumen. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Yud Alf, and also at the end of Perek Zion. God willing, next time we'll continue with Perek Ches, the 8th Perek of Masech Zeirevin, but for now, we'll stop right here.